Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
What's up, Central? It is so good to be back, and man, can you believe it? We survived a pandemic and we're here! Come on, it's good to be here and excited about what God is doing and the lives that are being changed, and I'm excited about what God is doing in Oklahoma. God is moving in a powerful way through our locations as we're gathering, and God's Spirit is moving, and then what's happening here in Vegas. And I was out on the Strip a little bit. Man, the Strip is hopping. How many know that? It's going again over there. Yeah, it is going again. But this is kind of home away from home. I love this place. I love preaching here. I love what God is doing. I love your pastors. I love Pastor Judd and Pastor Lori. Matter of fact, they were just in Oklahoma a little earlier this year speaking at our marriage conference. Can I tell you, they crushed it at one of our best marriage conferences we've ever had. They just really, really spoke life into our church. And then Pastor Judd preached on Sunday and just blessed our church. And so grateful for them. And I want to encourage you to do something, Central Family. You're led so well, you can take it for granted, but God has used your pastors, your staff, to lead through one of the most difficult seasons in our history, and especially in our lives. They led through a pandemic, and you're still standing, you're still having church, you're still doing outreach, you're still feeding people, you're still helping and bringing hope. You ought to just take a moment and just send your pastor a little note to say, way to go, a little encouragement. It was a hard year, but we're here. And so thank you, Pastor Judd and Pastor Lori, for allowing me to come, and the Central team. You're always so kind to me to share God's word. And I could not wait to get here. And really, one of the reasons is I hate to wait. I hate to wait. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. I hate to wait. But I got to show you a picture of my girlfriend. We've been married this year for 24 years. We got 4 children, and she still looks like she's a teenager. I keep her young, church. I keep her young. But that's my wife, Tiffany, of 23 and a half years, and my oldest son. Hey, this year, y'all, I need prayer. I need prayer. I really do. All of my kids are going to be teenagers this summer. So we're going to have 4 teenagers in the Cooper house. We got 2 drivers now. My oldest son's going to be a senior. Matter of fact, next year, my oldest son will be a senior. People's Church will turn 20 years old, and my wife and I will be married 25 years. That's called I'm going to be broke next year is what that's called. That's what that's called. But I want to talk to you just about waiting, because I really don't like to wait. Is there anybody else that can be a little impatient around here, that you'd be honest online, you'd be honest right now and just go, man, I have a difficult time waiting. And our culture makes it kind of difficult waiting. I mean, just think about all the things that are just wired up to cause us not to have to wait. You got instant and overnight. You've got Prime, Express Lane, instant messaging, apps to avoid traffic, grocery shopping pickup or delivery, Instapot, instant coffee, faster internet, fiber, 5G cell, call ahead seating, online reservations, online check-in, pre-check lines. I mean, matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to fly back home, and I fly a lot of American or a lot of Southwest, and I'm going actually back home on American. I'm already checked in for my flight. I don't like to wait. I'm already checked in, and I already know I'm going to be group 4. You know, there's going to be 2,900 groups. You know how that works at the airport, but I'm group 4. And is there anybody else like me? They'll call group 1. Then they'll call group 2, and I'm getting a little anxious. Group 3, I stand up, get my bags.
When they call group three, I'm already walking. Come on, who else is like me? I'm ready. I'm gonna be at the very front of group four. Group four, holla at your boy. I'm here. I want to be in the front of the line. Don't let it be Southwest, because you're number 42. I will so step up. What's your number? What's your number? I'm 42. You're 43. You're behind me. You know, I do not want to wait. I hate waiting. The reason I like Chick-fil-A is because they got two lines. How many know what I'm talking about? The drive. I do not like to wait. I drive in my car. I don't know why. I need prayer, but I'm always in a hurry. When I'm driving, I'm just trying to get somewhere quickly. I don't know why. I'm aggressive. I'm just driving, and I got a heavy foot, and I'm 20 yards away from that light, and I can see it, and the light is green, and I know I'm going to make it, and I'm driving, and I'm hitting the gas just a little faster, and as I'm coming up to the light, it turns yellow, and the car in front of me stops. You dummy! Yellow means go! What are you doing? Lost your mind stopping on yellow. And the worst invention they ever put on the iPhone is those dot, dot, dots when you're waiting for somebody to text you back. Come on, have you been there before? You text somebody? It's a one-word answer response back, and you're waiting, and you see that they're looking, and you're saying, dot, 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 would you text me back, dot, 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 yeah, it's just a yes or a no, dot, 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 dot. Come on, anybody like me, I will start putting question marks in there, question mark, sin, question mark, holla, come on, Hiller, where are you? I hate to wait. And everything in our society, there are companies right now manufacturing and processing and planning more gadgets and items so that we don't have to wait. And all the things that I've talked about have added value to my life. But one of the problems that our culture can create for us is this feeling that we should never have to wait. That there's something wrong if we have to wait. And I've even heard Christians, Christ followers, say this to me. I've heard people say, you know what, Pastor Herbert, I just know the devil is attacking me. Why? Because I'm having to wait. The devil is against me. No, every time you have to wait, it's not the devil. Waiting is a part of the plan of God. And it's really hard to wait, especially when you scroll through social media and you see that your friends are posting their dream vacation and their dream car, got a promotion, got a new house. Oh, just got married. Happiest could ever be. Look at where we ate on our date night. And you're thinking, why is everything happening for them? Why are their dreams coming to pass? And here I am waiting. And I want to encourage you today, Central Family. Waiting is all throughout the Bible. Waiting is a part of the plan of God. Matter of fact, the scripture says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. There is a time for everything. And a season for every activity under the heavens. This verse lets us know that we don't all live in the same season at the same time. Don't get jealous of someone who is in harvest season while you're still in planting season, because every person has to go through planting season, watering season, and then harvest season. Let it encourage you when somebody else is in harvest season. Let it touch your heart that if they got the harvest season, then God is going to bring me to my harvest season in the near future. If I can just learn to wait on God, learn to celebrate somebody else in their harvest season. Don't throw haterade. Just celebrate with them, because you know God is going to take you to your harvest season. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Today I want you to hear my heart. This is for somebody today. The vision, the dream, the opportunity, the career move, the spouse, the child, the job is for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God has an appointed time on his calendar to bring your vision, your dream to pass. He has an appointed time to bring the business, the job, the spouse, the relationship, the leadership role, the child, the car, the home. You just got to learn to wait for it. God knows what he's doing. Wait for it. God will do what he said he will do. Wait on the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 14 says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? This is talking about Abraham and Sarah as they were waiting on this promised child from God. And it goes on to say, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. No, I just want you to catch that. God says, even for this baby to be born that I promised you years ago, there is an appointed time on my calendar. Here's the one big idea that I want to get into our hearts today that I believe is going to be game-changing for some people listening to this message today. And here's the one big idea. Do not run ahead of God. Learn to wait on God. And today we're going to look at Abraham and Sarah for just a few moments. God promised them a son. He promised them this promised child, and they've been waiting for years, and it looks like time is running out on the clock. They're getting older and older and older, and they're not seeing the promise happen. They're getting impatient, and then they decide they needed to help God out. And let me take you to Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. The story of Abraham and Sarah, and before God changed their names, it was now Sarai, Abram's wife, verse 1 says, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. And Sarai, now we know them as Abraham and Sarah, she was fed up waiting on God. She's been waiting for years. Her and Abraham are talking. We're getting old. We need to do something. We need to make something happen. So she says to Abraham, well, why don't you just take our maidservant and sleep with her and let's build a family through her. And Abraham looks at Sarah and says, say what? Okay. And he sleeps with Hagar, and Ishmael is born, and they ran ahead of God. And before we, you know, point fingers at Abraham and Sarah, before we make fun of them, I think we have to all examine our own lives, because I know for myself, I have ran ahead of God on more occasions than I want to talk about. I've just been impatient and ran ahead of God. I remember back in college, I was dating a young lady. She was a Christ follower. I was a Christ follower. But the relationship was toxic. It was just unhealthy on both of us. And this young lady had good common sense, and so she broke up with me. But because of my own insecurities, because of all the things that were happening on the inside of me that weren't good, I decided I'm going to do everything that I can to win this girl back. I'm going to marry this girl. And yet there was just a check in my heart that I shouldn't. But yet my insecurity says, I've got to be with this girl. I can't be without a woman. And so I called her and called her and called her and called her until she finally got back with me. And when we got back together, the relationship was still toxic. And I finally began to listen to the voice of God, to the Holy Spirit. Just kept no peace at all in my heart. And I finally broke up with the young lady. And I just think about this. If I would not have listened to God, if I would have just kept running ahead of God, I would have never met my wife, Tiffany. We would not be married almost 24 years. We wouldn't have those four precious children. The only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing that you would have. And you have to learn to wait on the Lord. I want to give you some application. Let me give you some application today. I'm an application. Take note so that you can apply this message to your life as you're waiting on your dreams, as you're waiting on the spouse, as you're waiting for something to happen with your children, as you're waiting for something to happen with your business, as you're waiting for something to happen with your career, as you're waiting for something to show up and to work powerfully in your life. You're seeing this dream from God, but nothing's happened. Let me give you four wise ways to wait. Four wise ways to wait. We're going to look at Abraham and Sarah for the next few moments, and I'm also going to talk about Psalm 37. I like to call Psalm 37 the waiting chapter of the Psalms. And the first application is this: wait with trust. Wait with trust. Abraham and Sarah had to learn to trust God as they were waiting on the promise. And I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 37 and verse 4 about waiting. He says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Notice this, trust him and he will help you. When we trust God with our desires, when we trust God with our dreams, waiting is never wasted. The key is you have to learn to trust God more than you trust yourself. And that's not always easy. But here's what happens when you and I run ahead of God and we don't trust God more than we trust ourselves. We end up like Abraham and Sarah, and we start birthing burdens instead of birthing blessings. Have you been there before when you've ran ahead of God and you've birthed a relationship burden, you've birthed a burden in your marriage, and really you want to blame the devil, you want to blame other people, but if you're honest with yourself, you're thinking, I just ran ahead of God. You birthed a financial problem, you birthed a parenting problem, you birthed something, a problem there in your business and at the workplace, you birthed a problem in your family, and then when we start running ahead of God, instead of trusting God, we start birthing burdens instead of blessings. And we have to learn just to trust God. Even when you can't trace him, even when you don't see God working, you've got to trust that he is working on your behalf. So trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him. Number two is this. Here's a second wise way to wait, is wait with a quiet soul. A quiet soul. Abraham and Sarah, 25 years of waiting, had to learn to wait with a quiet soul. Even in the midst of all of their mistakes, they had to wait with a quiet soul. And in Psalm 37, in verse 7, it says, be still, quiet soul, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm, for the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. So we have to learn to wait with a quiet soul. Wait, and just be still in God's presence. This is application. God, help me to be still in your presence. In Central Family, I want to encourage you, be still versus being restless. Be still versus being restless. Be still in God's presence. Learn to rest in God's presence. Learn to enjoy everyday life. You see, everybody is headed somewhere. We all have goals. We all have dreams. And we can get so focused on the dream, so focused on the goal, that we don't learn to rest in God and enjoy everyday life. We can get so focused on the destination that we don't actually enjoy the journey. I've been there before. And what you have to understand about life is most of life is lived in the in-between seasons. Let me explain that to you. We have a goal, we have a dream. This is how my life has operated. And then once I get the goal or the dream, I set a new goal. I got a new dream. And then I reach that new dream or that new goal, and then I set a new goal or a new dream. And I never learned to really enjoy where I was. I thought, you know what, one day when I graduate from college, whew, I'll be happy. And then I thought, when I get married, I'm telling you, I can't wait to get married. Hey, I said, I'll be happy. Got married. Oh, just let me have a kid. Jesus, don't come back before I get married and have a child. Guess what? I got married. Got four of them. I thought, Lord, I just want to start a church. And we started our church. If the church could just run 200 one day, I'll be happy. It started running 200. If it runs 500, it started running 500. If it runs 1,000, if it runs 2, if it runs 5, if we have multiple locations, I'll be happy. And yet, there was anxiety. There was a restlessness. There was this inside of me, this dissatisfaction that was so unhealthy because I did not really understand that the journey is more important than the destination, because most of life is lived in the in-between seasons. And you have to learn to wait on God with a quiet soul and enjoy the season that you're in instead of always being restless about the season that you're trying to get to. Here's another one about waiting with the quiet soul. You got to be still versus worrying about others. The psalmist there in chapter 37, I read it to you, says, don't worry about evil people. In other words, don't worry about everyone else's success and dreams. You run your race. That's for somebody's heart today. You run your race. Some of you, one of the best things that you could do is to get off social media for about 3 months. You need to stop focusing on what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is driving and what everybody else is wearing and what everybody else is posting and their home and their car and their vacations and their date nights. You're so focused on everybody else, it's driving you crazy. Like you're looking, you're just scrolling. Hate you. You're worrying. It's causing you to run ahead of God. Worry doesn't work. Be still versus worrying about others. Here's the third one. Be still versus being angry. We read that there in that Psalm 37. He says, stop being angry. And sometimes when we're not seeing God move fast enough, we start getting angry with God instead of trusting God, instead of waiting with a quiet soul. Pastor, I've got a dream. I've got a vision. I know God's trying to do something in me and through me. I haven't seen it yet. Wait with a quiet soul. Number three is this, a third action step on how to wait wisely, and that is wait with action. Wait with action. Abraham and Sarah, that they were people of action. As you read their story, right when God spoke to them in Genesis chapter 12, the scripture says he spoke to them, and then they left Haran. They left their homeland, did not know where they were going, but they were people of action. And the psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 23, the Lord directs the steps, action, the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord upholds them by the hand. And this verse teaches us that while we're waiting, we should be stepping. While we're waiting, we should be stepping. Waiting isn't passive. Waiting isn't doing nothing. We should be stepping. But notice that the verse says that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. So as you're waiting, don't direct your own steps. You've got to follow what God's word says. You've got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I love that the Bible says that my sheep know my voice, that we can know the voice of God and hear his voice, and we want to stay in step with what God is doing while we are waiting. I love this. He goes on to say in Psalm 37 in verse number 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way. Let me say this to you. Your most important step is to do the last step God showed you. Everybody's going, I don't know what God's doing. I just don't know. I'm waiting on God. I don't know what to do. What do I do when I don't know what to do? When I don't know what the next step to take, what do I do? You just keep doing what God already told you to do. And he says, wait for the Lord and keep his way. That's action. Keep his way. Don't turn away from God. Don't start living in sin. Keep his way. Keep doing good. Keep serving at Central. Keep reading your Bible every day. Keep praying every day. Keep coming to church. Get back to church. Come on, there's something happening in this place around here at Central. Get back to worship. Come on, keep tithing. Keep your integrity. Keep loving your spouse. Keep loving your kids. Keep living for God in the middle of your singleness. Keep working hard. Keep having a good attitude. Wait with action. So key, as you're waiting on the Lord. And here's the fourth one, the fourth application. This is my favorite one, and yet it's the most difficult one. And that's a wait with commitment. Don't miss this. Wait with commitment. He says back in Psalm 37, verse 7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently. Whew. That's a tough word, Central. Come on, I still have some dreams. I'm preaching and teaching to myself right now because I haven't seen all my dreams come to pass yet. He says, and wait patiently for him to act. Waiting patiently takes commitment. Abraham and Sarah, 25 years. But you have to wait for the Lord to act. If you will wait, God will act. If you will wait, God will act. Don't walk away in the delay. People miss their dream coming to pass because they walk away in the delay. And Abraham didn't walk away in the delay. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18 says this about Abraham and Sarah and how they waited with commitment. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Wow. Their body was as good as dead. That means their dream was as good as dead. Can you relate? Your career just seems dead. Your dating life just seems dead. We're coming through this pandemic and you're saying my marriage is struggling more than ever. It seems dead. My relationship with my children seems dead. I'm upside down financially and my finances seem dead. I've been dealing with so much mental health and depression and anxiety. I just feel emotionally dead. My family relationships seem dead. I'm running low on hope, and my hope seems dead. I'm looking at my future, and it seems bleak. My future seems dead. And verse 20 says, yet he did not waver Abraham through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And God sent me here to Central today to tell somebody to be strengthened in your faith. I know everything looks dead, but you need to be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promise. Wait on the Lord. Don't waver. Don't quit. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. Wait on the Lord. I want to share a clip from one of the best theological movies ever, Finding Nemo. Check this out. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. I don't see my dream coming to pass. Just keep swimming. My marriage is on the rocks. Just keep swimming. I don't know if I'll ever graduate from college and get my degree. My grades are going backwards instead of forwards. Just keep swimming. I've been dealing with this addiction for so long. I think I'm going to beat it, and then I fall right back into it. Just keep swimming. Will my child ever come home and serve God? I just don't know. I'm losing hope. Just keep swimming. My company has been hit hard, and we're going through a tough time economically. I don't know if I can turn the business around. Just keep swimming. God sees right where you are. And he's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. If he said it, he will do it. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises of Scripture. I thank you that you see us where we are. You see us in our struggle. You see us with our dreams. You see us right where we are. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for moving in power and in strength. I thank you for people right now that are in a waiting season. I pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. I pray right now, God, that you would cause them as they wait on the Lord to renew their strength today. I pray for fresh strength today, Lord, that they'll mount up on wings as eagles. They'll begin to run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. I thank you that you'll bring dreams to pass as we wait on the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.